Hey, this is Daryl as a service here with the 365 Message Center, where you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. I've been practicing, Daniel.
Good job.
Let's roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Good now to you. How are you, Daniel? You sound like you're clearing your throat a little and not well.
I have something in my throat. It's maybe a little bit of illness.
Ah, it's easy to happen to us when we're working hard and pushing it. So we've got a good show for you today, and it's gonna be interesting, as you can tell from our headline of the episode. We know that a lot has been discussed this week. You ready for it, Daniel?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right, let's get into it. And look, before we get into it, thank you for those who have been joining us via the podcast as well. We've been seeing an increase in the listening ever since we went live, so good to hear that. If you're happy with how we're going and you've got any feedback, drop in some comments, give us a rating. It's always helpful to let us know how we're doing.
Yes, please.
First message of the week, which actually came out... It was actually during our episode, wasn't it? Well, it came shortly after the episode that we ran last week.
Yes, it was. It was actually within an hour or so, I think, of the episode last week.
So we've had a good full week to talk about the announcing of self-services purchase capabilities for Power Platform products.
Yes.
MC193609. And probably about the same number of conversation threads going on around the world about this announcement. What's the gist of the announcement here, Daniel?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to kind of define some of the things that are being said here, right? So it's talking about the Power Platform, right? Mm-hmm. So what is that? The Power Platform is Power BI, Microsoft Power BI, Microsoft Flow, and Power Apps. That's what's considered the Power Platform, along with, you could probably throw in CDS in there. But so that's what we're talking about. So this self-service purchase capability is about allowing your users to purchase licenses for those products. So for those three products in your tenant, without you doing anything. And not only is it not you doing anything, it's you can't do anything about it.
Right. Well, first of all, why would we need a license? What's out of the box if I have it turned on in my team?
Yeah, so if you have an Office 365, like an E3 or an E5, an E1, so those, you have the capabilities of using Microsoft Flow, for instance, to interact with your Office 365 data. But if you want to use a connector to connect to some other cloud or your on-prem data, you're going to have to buy an additional license to do that. If for Power BI, if you're wanting to collaborate with other users and you only have an E3, then you can use powerbi.com. But once I say, hey, I want to upload a report and then share that report in the Power BI service with someone else in my company, then I'm going to have a Pro license, a Power BI Pro license, and they are too, to be able to view that content. Anytime sharing is happening, everyone who's shared with has to have a elevated license. Yeah. So if I'm doing those kind of things and I say, hey, I need those things to happen, Microsoft is going to enable for your users to be able to elevate their license themselves.
Mm. And look, I hear, or at least I read, that customers are asking for this, and this is why we have allowed this ability. That, sure, I've heard some discussions where IT pros are waiting for their slow internal engine of licensing and approvals to allow people to have a license, so they can get on with citizen developments and creating solutions for themselves. But as I'm thinking about this, and I think Jamie's got a similar question here too, mm-hmm. who's paying for this license? What happens here?
Yep. Yeah, so when your user goes in and tries to and is going to promote their license, so buy an additional license, they are paying for it. So the mm-hmm. only payment method right now that is accepted is a credit card. So most likely what's going to happen is the company is going to pay for it, right? At least the user would think so. They would use a company credit card, or they're going to pay for it on their own credit card and expense it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because does it make actually any sense for me, because it's a work thing, maybe I might do something and create a little program or something in the Power Platform to make my job easier and me productive. But in most cases, people are creating this for work purposes.
Most certainly. You know, they're not using this they're not using these products typically for anything other than trying to do their job better. Okay, so I think we've covered what it is and why they're mm-hmm. doing it, right? Let's talk about the way I see it, if you're okay with that, Daryl.
Yeah, so, yes, go ahead.
So this talks about why they're doing it, and there's a link at the bottom of this that takes you to a frequently asked questions that Microsoft has developed.
Well, they had to add that, didn't they?
They did. They've edited this one, and they added that, because there's so many people asking questions about this. But... Mm. Like you said before, they've done this in response to what they say. They've done this in response to customer feedback and requests. And really what this is doing is saying, I'm going to remove IT from the conversation. I go in and set up my tenant, provision my users, assign licenses, and say, give them some training, help them with their adoption through other activities, including training, but other activities. And say, go users, go, let me know if you need anything. Mm-hmm. And here's, you know, and then they come back and they say, hey, I need something. And, or they don't. They say, hey, I need something. And they don't come to you and they say, I just need a Power BI Pro license now, because I'm going to share, I want to share. So they go ahead and they can't get that license. They have to come to you for it. So mm-hmm. Microsoft is providing a way for them to circumvent. Yes, I'm using that word. Because they're circumventing your management of your tenant and circumventing your policies. Basically, what if, you know, in that case, a user comes and says, I need an additional Power BI Pro license because I want to share within the company. Joe Schmo told me I need a Pro license to share, so I'm going to go ahead and buy a Pro license. No, you don't. Maybe we have someone who creates the reports and shares it with the organization. You're not the person that should be doing that. Everyone has Read. They don't need Pro. You don't need Pro because you're not a report creator. That's not your role. We don't need you mm-hmm. to be doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, now.
But I want to be a report creator.
Yeah, good for you. You haven't had the training. Are you modeling your data correctly? We don't even know if the reports that you're going to create are going to be good reports, and it could be telling the wrong data story. So what's going to happen is I'm going to sign up for this Power BI Pro license, and then I'm going to expense it, right? I'm going to say, hey, I've signed up for this. Now I need you to pay for it. And if the company pays for it, fine. If they don't, then the admin is going to have to then go and figure out how to clean this up. And that's where it's going to be tricky, the whole cleanup process. And the frequently asked questions tried to address that a little bit, but I think it's going to be a mess. So, it is the problem I have with this, Daryl, the problem I have with this is not a feature. This is a function. And there's a difference there for me. A feature is something you can turn on and off. A function is something that is required and you have no choice. This is the way it functions. And Microsoft is, the Power Platform team is forcing this onto us. Basically, there is no way to turn this off. There's no way you can say, no, I don't want that. Maybe I don't have governance set up. And governance is just rules and a handshake saying, yes, I'm going to follow this, right? That's all governance is. But maybe I don't have governance set up. Maybe I don't want my people doing this until they're trained. Well, too bad.
Well, this sort of extending past the licensing question and giving people access to the features within Power BI and the Power Platform and Flow and Power Apps, it actually does get into it actually puts more onus on IT to secure their data correctly. Because one of the concerns is I've got this connector now, I can connect to business data and I can then connect it to anything that I need out to a third party system to do what I need it to do. And the question comes back to there is, well, if they have access to that data, which you have given them, and they're using that connector, maybe the data needs to be secured in a certain way to prevent that kind of extension, if that's the goal, to govern the data.
And I think the I think there's many use cases where this is great. We don't have time to go through all of the use cases where this is great. Yes, there's organizations that will love this. The problem is there's a lot of people who don't love this at all. There was a user voice created
Oh yeah, let's have a look at that.
on the Office 365 user voice,
Palmer.
Veronique
Veronique
Palmer.
Palmer.
Yeah. Sorry, calling you Veronica. Sorry about that. The ability to block self-service purchase capabilities for Power Platform products. That was created on 5 days ago. It is already over 2,600 votes. The first 2 days, it was over 1,000 votes. I mean, I've never seen a user voice go that quickly. And the point here is, I don't want to belabor the point, but the point is, there's a lot of people who are not happy about this at all. The shoving it down our throat, saying you will allow all of your users to sign up for any license they want. And I say that, and people go, no, this is Power Platform. For now, if you go and look at the frequently asked questions, it actually says, I don't know if you can bring it up or if I'm gonna.
Yeah, no, bring it up.
No, so the language is, will self-service purchase be enabled for services beyond the Power Platform products? Answer, at this time, and those are the key three words. The Power Platform family of products are the only services being offered through. If this is successful, and what's success? I would hope sentiment has something to do with it. So if it makes too many people mad, maybe that's makes it unsuccessful. But the other part of success, Microsoft is a business. If they get more subscriptions, and subscriptions see a spike, I would think they would think that's successful. So therefore, if this is successful, I would not be surprised this going to other products. Now, I'm not saying I have not heard anything about that. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, they had
And
to clarify it in the FAQ because the original message did say similar kind of language.
And it's the yes, I agree. There's two, well, there's another point I wanted to make, and that is in the first sentence. Of under the first question, it says, what changes did they announce? There's the word most there. That's not in the post, but is in the frequently asked questions. This brings a lot of questions to me about what do you mean most commercial cloud customers? Are there commercial cloud customers that are not going to get this? I don't know. I mean, that's my first question.
Well, it's been rolled out to the US too to start with, so that
It
really
is.
shows a testing of the market, and so the rest
It
of the
is.
world will look on and see what's going to happen
It is.
here.
It is not rolling out for government, for education, and nonprofit. But again, that whole most commercial cloud customers is different than government, nonprofit, and education. Anyway, and I just find this, frankly, a hard pill to swallow. I will say, I will not be surprised if they don't back down. We've seen a lot of things that Microsoft has done and made decisions where they said, you know what, maybe we did mess this up. Let's back it out. Let's fix it, whatever we're doing, and then roll it back. I would not be surprised if this just moves forward and there is no stopping it. Now, again, I don't know anything other than that. I'm just saying I would not be surprised. And what is it stopping it? So Power BI will be available November 19th for your users to start purchasing Power BI willy-nilly. And then December 4th for Power Apps and Flow. And, all those licensing changes with Power Apps and Flow that we talked about earlier this year and around the summertime, well, your users are going to be experts at it because they're going to navigate all their licensing requirements because they're going to go out and purchase a bunch of them. Sorry, I took a lot of time there. Sorry
That
about
yeah.
that. But
Now,
I
as you
think
can
this is a
tell, it is
huge
a
one that
definitely.
everybody's got to be aware of.
Yeah.
This is one of those, and we have these every once in a while, right, Daryl, where we go,
Yeah.
okay, everybody, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to focus on this because this is coming. And as of right now, it's coming whether you want it or not. There's no way to turn it off. You're going to need to put in some governance plans in. And I saw one suggestion that said, just tell your users if they buy a license, they're fired. Well, that's one way of doing it. I'm not saying you should do it that way, but that's you need a governance plan right now, and get it approved and get it implemented and communicated before this kicks in.
Yeah. Anyway, let's keep moving along because that's the first one, and we spent a good 12, 15 minutes on
I
it.
already apologized, Daryl.
Yeah. No,
Man.
but it is a big one because it actually hits at the heart of change management and whether or not we can do anything as admins. So yeah, we've got activity-based teams renewal. Now, with creating a lot of teams, there is a way to govern and to tidy things up afterwards, and it's based on activity that if you have enabled this policy, then you can have these teams wrap themselves up after a certain period of inactivity. This message is MC193626, and there has been some intelligence added. So that it's going to look to see whether people have accessed the channel, they've accessed add some activity in SharePoint in the background, or the associated Office 365 group. So this is good news because it means that there is less need for you to intentionally trigger and say, actually, I do want to keep this team. I don't have to respond to a message. You simply need to go in and use it, and that's enough to
I
signal
agree.
that.
This is a bit of automation, automatically taking care of it and not have to manually manage. So I like this.
Yep, definitely. Moving along to just a quick one on Outlook Mobile, rolling out support for S/MIME. So. Yeah, again, increasing that security and upgrading it. We've seen this across a number of different products lately too, with SHA-2 standard being rolled out. So good to see this being brought into Outlook Mobile. And it seems like Outlook Mobile is the sponsor for this week's show because there's a few things that are happening in the Outlook Mobile world, in fact, the Outlook world.
Yeah, make sure we mentioned that one is MC193642. And then the next one, Daryl, is MC193643, which is the Outlook Mobile rolling out Microsoft Information Protection Sensitivity Labeling for, and is going GA.
Yeah, no, this is I always want to loop it back and say, now this is something that requires an additional license. Is this something
But
that
I'm
if I'm a concerned citizen of my own data that I might want to apply for the no, never mind. Let's just stop right there. You do require an E5. You'll need admins to set up the various different labels and things. But this will provide a predefined label that you can add to email, which I would say is going to be like something like highly sensitive. If you don't have a lot more choice than that, that's one of the more popular ones you'd want to apply to a message. Don't send this beyond our internal discussions, would be the kind of label you want to use. This next one is really just a rejiggle of the admin center. Yeah. Updated features
Rejiggle.
for rejiggle. Yeah. Like actually if you have a look at the picture that goes along with it, it's like I'm cutting this hair and I am pasting this hair and joining these things together. This is no longer a thing. It's they're all together now. So it is MC193644. You don't get any clue as to what it is in the title.
Other subject. Yeah, no kidding.
Feature is services. But they're cutting and pasting together the services and add-ins, the security and privacy and organization profile onto a single page. So good for you to know, admins, if you are looking for it across different pages, then you'll find them all together on one page, maybe just called services. It's a good clue.
Where do you get that clue, Daryl?
Well, it could be in the title. Yeah. Back to Outlook. If you've getting a lot of messages, getting a lot of meeting invites and the like, and you like to use Outlook on the web, then you can RSVP to your meeting invites without even reading the message. How about that?
Who reads email anyway?
749. Well, I get invited to a few meetings a week. How about you?
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah. So this could be useful, but what I was thinking of is, like, if you're into good meeting practice, you're going to put in your agenda, you're going to put in various other details. What this enables us to do is, yeah, I'll RSVP and then I'll read the detail later. What have I just agreed to? Oh, yeah, I'll come along to that.
Yep. Well, and I think, it's basically, if you scroll down a little bit, I think it's for those watching live here, it's basic when you're showing the preview in Outlook on the web, you can click on RSVP and just say, yes, I'll be there. But remember, this is Outlook on the web. So I'm thinking, we're going to be able to see the message maybe, on the other pane if we click on it. It's just that the RSVP is right there. Yeah. But even if we're not, you don't have to use this for every message. You can actually open it up and read it before you accept it. I think this is for, hey, send me a meeting invite for us to talk about whatever. So we can get on the calendars. You send it to me. I already know what it's going to be and what it's about. So I'll just, click RSVP and go. That's kind of what I was thinking when I was reading this is for me. So you just apply it to how you're going to use it. For me, it really will be those quick, we've already talked about this, or I know exactly what this is. Yes, of course I'll accept, I don't know.
Definitely. Back on to sensitivity labeling. Mm-hmm. Outlook on the web is allowing us to do the same. Mm-hmm. So that's MC193997. Again, automatic sensitivity labeling. It is going to give you, if you can see from that screenshot and just describing it to the podcast people, we do have those pop-up messages. What are they called? Like when the bar that goes along the top of our email message to say when someone is maybe out of the office or out of work.
Right. And so tool got tip? That
tool tip. That's what I was looking for. So it's good. Yet another tool tip where you can click on and change that sensitivity to whatever label has been chosen. So that's rolling out to targeted customers early November. So that's not far away and should be available for everyone by end of December.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Now, I guess getting into another message that has generated a bit of discussion. I remember when it came out, Jamie Laporte had started a good, interesting thread there about channel cross-posting in Microsoft Teams, MC194015. What is this for, Daniel? If I'm trying to get your attention, I will mention you.
Yes.
So surely you'll get a message to or at least an activity feed to say, hey, Daryl said something to you. But what if I'm trying to talk to a wider group, and is it enough for me to at mention the channel or the team?
Well, I think what this is for is saying I need to communicate with people in multiple channels. And instead of going to each one of those channels and posting the same message, I can cross post in one message. I can create the message and send it you know, to all of those,
Yeah.
have, you know, the channels I select. The, I think this came out of really one of those, hey, people are doing this, and so let's make it easier and a little flow a little better with communication of trying to, you know, bring everyone together. In that, you know, people were going, well, there's three channels that have to do, or maybe I've got a team for for me as a consultant, maybe I have a team for a client and I've got 10 projects in there and I need to send a message to three of those projects that are, have to do with the internet or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to post that and I'm going to post it to all three channels. How do you do that? You have to manually do that unless you do this cross posting.
Yeah. We've seen this kind of behavior too in Yammer networks, and I'm just thinking of one that you and I are involved in, where it's like, oh, I've got to get this message out that everyone needs to come along to this online meeting we do monthly, so I'm going to post it in each of the groups, and because it's an open network, we see multiple activity to say that, yeah, this meeting is on. I initially, when I saw this, I thought, well, wouldn't the behavior be, you want to drive the behavior that you're posting this kind of message in a team or a channel that is commonly followed by everyone, so that you only have to put it in one place. But yeah, as organizations grow and as they do have multiple teams, it's really hard to drive that behavior, because the members of a team, you have to, each individual person would have to follow, or rather show a channel and say, I'm interested in this content. I'm going to set my notifications for that content.
Right.
I've thought, well, okay, you could do this in a staff meeting and say, hey, everyone, we're going to do this now. You've got your laptops open, then do this now. But you can't really reinforce that behavior on behalf of people. So this is where I think the features come from. The need to talk to multiple groups of people in multiple teams and multiple channels, and you can't guarantee that they're following the content in a certain channel.
Right.
So that is,
which could be
rolling
which
out.
Could be construed as, you know, spam messages.
Could be.
You know, you're spamming, and I think there's room here for abuse, right? Because you could spam a bunch of channels when you don't need to. So I think, again, we, you know, just come back to governance, talk about training, and say, here's how we're going to use this and how it's best used, and then enforce it. And, you know, when people say start doing it wrong, you, hey, that's not how you should use it. And just go from there.
Yep. I might belong to a number of those channels, and I'm going to get each of those messages anyway, but at least I got it. Must be important. Finishing off with the last thing, and thank you for the message from our sponsor again today, Outlook Mobile. In Outlook Mobile, actually, you might have noticed this in Outlook on the web, that at the top of your inbox, you might have a message that says, oh, this is your next appointment. And so this is what's going to be brought to Outlook Mobile. A what's up next will appear in Outlook Mobile. This is MC194163. Gradually rolling out to Outlook iOS late October. So I'll be looking for that this week, I guess.
Yes, you will be. Because, you know, you got a lot of forewarning on this one. So go for it.
Yeah, so published date 27th of October. Coming out 3 days later.
Yes. Well, and this is one of those, this is not allowing your users to just go out and buy whatever license they want.
This is a feature.
This is a feature that is not taking away from, you know, this is a new thing that, you know, it's not kind of like a changing the way you work, although, I mean, it may improve the way you work, but so I could see it not taking that long, but it's something that we definitely should ask Mike Ziok about, you know, these announcements that We have different categories because it used to be two categories, the way I understood it. Announcements that gave us 30-day notice and then announcements that gave us 90-day notice. And now we have announcements that give us
3 days
three or
notice,
less
4 days notice.
days notice. Yeah. So anyway, so that's probably something we should ask Mike about on this feature. So when are we going to be able to do that, Daryl?
Well, we're going to be recording a podcast at Microsoft Ignite next week. Now we don't have the same access to gear and stuff, so we're going to do our best with what we have. Last year we were quite spoiled to be able to sit on a nice
Yeah,
stage and have cameras that were hovering all over and awesome mic and stuff. But yeah, the highlight I think for us was being able to talk to Mike Ziok, who's quite an influential person in the there's a trilogy here. It's not just the message center, it's also the
no.
roadmap, and it's also Service Health dashboard. So
That's right.
the whole picture there for administering change.
So,
So
so people, I think really, so we'll be recording an episode. We don't have a place for a large audience this year, unfortunately, but that's okay. So we're still going to enjoy doing the recording. I think the important part that I wanted to mention is if you see us at Ignite next week, please say hi. And we have some wonderful stickers that I don't have in front of me
that looks something
that
like the
we've
thing over your shoulder, right?
Right. Now we've showed it on the show before. We have some stickers we want to hand out to everyone, so please, yes, it's that right there.
Yep, I just
Those
realized
that are
it's cut
watching.
off.
But it's the logo to the show. But anyway, it's stickers that you can put on your gear. They look really cool. Love them. And please just say hi and say, hey, you got a sticker. Would love to give one to you. So.
That's right. Oh yeah, Dean has a question about the recording. That they are not showing or listing any podcasts on a schedule to
Right.
go and watch or listen to. So it's literally we're using the facilities there, the access to people, which is great. And we'll record. What Daniel and I hope to do is record it, whack it together, and try and push it out as soon as we can. So
Shortly
maybe.
thereafter. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a day after, maybe that afternoon, we'll see. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everyone.